Hello and welcome to the CTSNet Beat. My name's Joel Dunning, bringing you all the news in cardiothoracic surgery. So this week we've got three fantastic papers. We've got a paper on how adding two checkmate inhibitors to chemotherapy makes a surgical cure better, but the operation much more difficult in thoracic surgery. In cardiac surgery, safely using mechanical support for very, very sick patients having revascularization, and a really great paper by Mario Gaudino all about research and how to get into it. We've got three fabulous videos, a really good Ross conference. We've got a fantastic video all about how to fix a tracheal stenosis and an insanely difficult congenital case for you. So lots for you to watch this week on the CTSNet Beat. So tune in for the full edition of CTSNet Beat. Welcome, CTSNet friends. So thank you very much for tuning in to the CTSNet Beat. My name is Joel Dunning, here reviewing all the cardiothoracic surgery news and everything that's going on in the world just for you. And of course, we're getting very close to the amazing AATS meeting, which is coming right up April 17th, and it's coming up very soon in Toronto. So we're really looking forward to that. We'll bring you lots of news as it happens, as it comes along. So the first thing I was going to talk about in full flow this week was a little maybe something I was discussing with my daughter. She is doing philosophy at university, and as you do as a dad, you said to her, "Well, what did you learn at uni today?" And she said, "Oh, we were on the trolley problem." And I said, "What's the trolley problem?" And he said, "Dad, you're so stupid. Do you not know what the trolley problem is?" So I got her to explain it. So what is the trolley problem? Well, trolley, because this is America, or tram, as in the UK, is where there's a tram on a track, zipping along the tracks, and there are five people tied up, stuck to the rails, and it's whizzing towards these five people, and it's gonna kill them all. But you are by the side of the tram, and there's actually a big lever. And if you pull this lever, it will put that trolley or tram onto a different track. But that different track has one person tied to it. So you would kill that person. The dilemma in philosophy is, of course, do you do nothing? Do you walk by? Do you walk off? Do you ignore that and just let the world take its course so you don't do any intervention? Or do you intervene? But by intervening, you cause harm to that other person. Obviously, to us surgeons, it's clear, it's obvious. Pull the trigger. But obviously that then means that it's your fault that it's death rather than somebody else's death. And there are a few other conundrums in the trolley problem. There's a separate part of it where you're actually on a bridge and you can push someone over the bridge to physically kill that person. But by them landing on the track, then that alerts the driver and the driver squeals on his brakes, again saving the others. And we actually concluded it was a pretty silly example, this trolley problem. But then I actually said, you know what, we do this every single day in surgery. Every single day, I have lots and lots of patients, and if I do nothing, i.e. don't operate, then, you know, I walk off, I haven't caused any harm to them, but they've probably got a higher chance of death. But if I do intervene on these people, then some of them aren't going to survive. Some of them are going to die, and some of those are going to be totally my fault. But I think that overall, probably I'm saving more people than I'm intervening on. So actually, the trolley problem, while it sounds a bit fake and silly in philosophy, actually is an everyday occurrence in surgery. And then the other thing this got me to thinking about was that actually, we often have accidents of omission rather than commission in surgery. I find often we get very hung up about the concern and worry that we might cause a 1% chance of death for that cardiac surgery patient, or in thoracics, you know, 0.5% chance of death for that slightly higher risk lobectomy. And maybe we don't think quite as much as we could about what are the consequences to that patient if we were to not intervene. I've certainly had several patients completely freaked by our large list of complications that we feel like we have to tell our patients. You've got a 1% chance of a pulmonary embolus, a 0.5% chance of a stroke. You've got a 3% chance of a terrible wound infection that needs more operations. And actually, you know, we don't concentrate nearly as much as on, well, if you didn't have this operation and you walked out of my my consulting room right now, you know, your chance of being here in a year's time is only 50%. And I think, how have we got to this? Well, obviously, because it's down to us and it's down to our clinical skills, and we're trying so hard to get our risk down and really low. Plus, we don't want to not fully inform and give fully informed consent. But my full flow thought today is, when you next see a patient, do, of course, do the risks and tell them about the operation, but finish up with A, what the most likely thing to happen is, which is success, survival. So I always finish off. But remember, you've got a 80% chance of no complications whatsoever. You've got a 70% chance of being out of my hospital in 3 days. You've got a 99% chance of surviving the operation. So be very positive. And also, just remind them what happens if you don't have an operation. And certainly in cancer treatment, you know, we are telling these patients, you know, we have got a really good chance of curing you. And actually, if we weren't to do this, you know, the alternative track, the alternative trolley path is far worse. So anyway, that was my little thought for the day. Hope you thought that was useful, and I'd be interested to hear what you think about it. Do drop us a line below this or on the podcast show notes, or let me know what you think. The other reason I thought about this is because of one of the papers that we have on the website this week. There is a paper by Hope Feldman, by Tina Casconi, by the team at the University of Texas, and it is entitled Surgical Outcomes After Chemotherapy Plus Nivolumab and Chemotherapy Versus Nivolumab and Ipilimumab. So two checkmate inhibitors and chemotherapy and then surgery with non-small cell cancer. It's out in the JTCVS. And basically, what is this paper doing? Well, it's showing us what is happening in thoracic surgery these days. No longer are we just doing an operation and then sending off for a little bit of chemo. Now they're getting huge amounts of neoadjuvant treatment, and that's making our operations quite a lot more difficult and quite a lot more dangerous. Trolley theory, you know, we're worried about changing their track to this new neoadjuvant pathway. And actually, this paper documents 44 patients that had this. They're part of a trial called the NeoStar trial, where half of them were getting the neoadjuvant chemo-immuno versus neoadjuvant chemo-immuno, but with two checkmate inhibitors. So even literally basting them in neoadjuvant drugs before taking them to the operating room. And I've started to explain this new type of treatment to my patients in this following way. We always like to do the biggest treatment first. And 10, 15 years ago, the biggest treatment was always an operation. Massive thoracotomy, big operation. And if you managed to get through that, that maybe would send you off for a bit of chemotherapy to increase your chance of survival by 5%, because that's all chemo used to do. But now, our operations have got minimally invasive. They've got robotic. Bob Sofolio's sending you home after day one routinely, and we're trying to get towards that as well. So the operations got loads smaller, but the adjuvant treatments have got lots more difficult, lots bigger. So actually, we're now doing the bigger treatment first, followed by the smaller treatment, which is now surgery more and more. But in this paper, it was quite interesting, because after you've had all that treatment, what happened to those 44 patients? Well, all of them had thoracotomies because they were getting really difficult. The surgeons rated 59% of the operations more challenging than normal, as in if you hadn't had the neoadjuvant treatment. 18% had grade 3 or above complications. But the good thing, despite all those complications and having to do thoracotomies, some of them got pneumonectomies, you know, big complications, big surgery, more difficult in over half of them. The really interesting thing is that there was major pathological response, i.e. couldn't see any cancer in the samples, in half of the most aggressive neoadjuvant arm and a quarter of the chemoimmuno. So things have come forwards a huge amount. Do we pull the lever? Yes, we do. Pull the lever, get to the neoadjuvant chemoimmuno pathway, and actually it is better for all the patients as a whole, even though we'll be seeing more difficult operations, more complications, having it far more difficult to get them through. They're not going to go home day one, they're going to go home day 4, 5, 6, but we know it's better on the whole for everybody. I thought that was a great paper as well, and actually also is a great argument for robotics, because, you know, we're going to have to do more difficult operations, and that is the perfect platform for doing more complex procedures. We haven't just got that paper on the website this week. We've got some others. We've got a really nice paper by Samir Singh and Koji Takeda from New York, from Columbia University. And their paper is entitled Mechanical Circulatory Support During Revascularization for Ischemic Cardiomyopathy. This is in the Annals of Thoracic Surgery this week, so check it out. Basically, they looked at a load of people with very poor ejection fractions, less than 35%, having CABG. Over a 7-year period, and there were 378 of those, and they looked into patients that had mechanical circulatory support, either didn't, had them preoperatively or postoperatively. It was a range of mechanical circulatory support, so it wasn't just ECMO, although there was a good number there. There was also impellers, also balloon pumps, although they're becoming less popular. And actually, the really interesting thing about this paper was these really ill people, 6% were in cardiogenic shock, having revascularization. There was really, really ill people. 60% have had an MI within 3 weeks before their surgery. So really sick people. The operative mortality, 3%. Absolutely fantastic results. Their 3-year survival, 87%. I mean, these are people that are on death's doors. So really good survivals. And if you had preoperative mechanical circulatory support, your mortality was only 7%, and on our illest patients. So well done that group. It's really good. It basically says that put them on mechanical circulatory support. Don't be scared of operating on them. You'll get good results, and they'll last a long time. So really nice paper. Well done, guys. And the third paper we've got for you is by Mario Gaudino, our favourite research professor of cardiac surgery at Cornell in New York. He's just done a great paper in the Annals of Thoracic Surgery. It's an opinion piece on research concepts and opportunities for early career investigators in cardiac surgery. So Mario Gaudino, I had a little Google and listened to some of his talks, actually. He's amazing. He's literally doing 80 papers a year. So that's a paper a week. He's got some wonderful papers on the meta-analyses. Obviously, he's majorly into the radial artery. He's on health outcomes. So he's got a whole wealth of knowledge to give us. And so that's why this opinion piece is really great. All about doing research and opportunity. So if you're an early stage career surgeon, then check out this article in the Annals of Thoracic Surgery by Mario Gaudino, or just Google him on YouTube. He's got a whole host of really, really good talks to help us. So before we get into the videos, I'll just hand over to the office and they'll tell you what else is on the website this week.
Take advantage of the features on your profile page to tell the CTSNet community more about yourself. head to ctsnet.org/user to update your background, place of work, and contact information. When you're done, head to the Profiles page to stay connected with colleagues and learn more about your fellow CTSNet members.
We got three absolutely brilliant videos this week. The first one is a congenital by Debesis Das and Shaimal Mighty. This is titled Tetralogy of Fallot, Absent Pulmonary Valve Repair and Repair by Anterior Translocation of the Branch Pulmonary Arteries and Reduction Plasty. What a video, unbelievable. This 4 kilogram kid, not only did they have tetralogy, they had massively dilated pulmonary arteries, and they were squashing the bronchi. There were little tiny slit-like bronchi in this poor little kid. So they'd done an unbelievable operation, completely different to standard tetralogy repairs that I've seen. They do a Lecomte manoeuvre, they bring the pulmonary artery out in front of the aorta after they've transected it and swapped it. They construct a new pulmonary valve. They actually do a reduction plasty of left and right main pulmonary arteries to make this giant pulmonary artery smaller and a whole lot more. Absolutely brilliant in really, really good vision, very nicely explained, and a really wonderful video. If you like seeing mad, crazy, complicated, detailed congenital surgery, then you have to check that video out. The second video we've got for you is a really nice, clear video by Carolina Aiden and Paolo Pego Fernandez. And this is a nice tracheal stenosis repair. Patient had a car accident, 2022, got intubated, but afterwards, after extubation, they got a tracheal stenosis. It was about one ring under the cricoid. It was for about two rings, and they just got a lovely video, really clear, really showed them cutting into the rings to make sure they get exactly the right height, then suturing the posterior part of the trachea while they had in-site intubation, and then changing across to endotracheal intubation to finish anteriorly. Continuous sutures at the back, interrupted at the sides, really nice job, and a lovely outcome at the end. They did some post-op bronchoscopies and a great outcome for that patient. So if you've not seen a tracheal stenosis repair, this is a lovely video, so check that out. And the third thing we've got for you this week on the website is a really good 1 hour expert class on the Ross procedure. It's entitled The Ross Procedure, Clinical Evidence, Surgical Technique, Q&A. This is with Karim Badir and Peter Plucht, and is a really nice video hosted by LifeNet Health, who are a charity that works in the space of organ donation and obviously autografts. So they are really interested in the ROS. Really nice exposition of why we should be doing this in the adult population, on how long-lasted they are. Some really nice descriptions of why it's been unpopular by the fact that a lot of surgeons have been doing very low volume. You need a high volume center to get good at this, and then you're going to get good outcomes. And why maybe some of the initial literature has been quite negative about the ROS is basically because of dilation. If your annulus continues to dilate and you haven't put something around it to stop annular dilatation, you're going to get recurrent regurgitation. But we see some lovely videos about this and some great descriptions from Peter Plucht and Karen Badir. So check that out if you're interested in the ROS procedure. A few little things just coming up to look out for. There's an STS workshop on robotic cardiac surgery, May the 9th. Endoscopic port access mitral repair, dry lab training, May the 16th in the Netherlands. Check it out on the show notes. And EACTS, heritable thoracic aortic disease webinar, May the 23rd. Nice and cheap. You can log on online at EACTS right now today. So that's everything for this week. Where is Diego? Diego's in Bucharest this week, where he was doing a Uniportal robotics course, which is really great. And my honourable mention, of course, goes to Mario Gaudino. What a great guy. What a leader in research. Probably one of the greatest cardiothoracic researchers we've ever had. So, and I totally encourage you to go on YouTube right now and go and listen to some of his wonderful talks. So that's it for me. Thank you for watching all the way to the end. I'll be here next week, and I hope you can join me too for another edition of the CTSNet Beat podcast.